The book of Acts tonight in chapter number 5. That's where we're going to read to start with tonight. Acts chapter number 5. I've been reading some in Proverbs, some in Acts, and trying to get through Ezekiel. Amen. I got a couple more chapters today. I think I'm up about chapter 31 now. But Ezekiel's been a little bit of a difficult book for me to get through. Amen. I get through it, I'll be over in Daniel. That'll be a lot easier. Amen. Plow on with them three Hebrew children. Amen. And old Daniel. Let's look tonight at verse number, let's look at verse 25. Let's start in verse 25. The text is in verse 28, but we'll start tonight in verse number 25. The Bible said, "Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." The Word of God said, and then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." What had happened, they had locked them up, and God set them free. Say amen. God opened the prison. And they commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And the Bible said over there in verse 18 of chapter 4, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. See, the crowd had already jumped on board because this man had been healed, the lame man. He was 40 years old, or the Bible said above 40 years old, that the miracle was done. So they were trying to do a balancing act here. They were trying to get the apostles to shut up, and yet they were afraid, amen, to do very much because they were afraid the people would turn on them. I want to take the text tonight from verse 28 in chapter 5, where the Bible said, "Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine." Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Now, I've studied enough in the book of Acts. I'm going to pray in just a moment. But I've studied enough to know, Brother Jason, that it wasn't their doctrine, so to speak, but it was God's doctrine that they were filling Jerusalem with. They were filling Jerusalem with the teaching of the Word of God. And really, the teaching then was simple. Jesus died. Y'all killed him. Amen. And then a little bit later, he said that was because of the determinate counsel of God. In other words, before the foundation of the world, God determined that the Lamb would be slain. Amen. And that Lamb would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they were teaching the people that they had crucified the Lord, but that he was buried and he rose again the third day. Amen. And they were also, beloved, believing that any day he'd come back, because they were told, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've seen go into heaven will so come again in like manner." You know, we ought to ask ourselves this question: would we have done anything differently today if we knew Jesus was coming back tonight? I remember this, and I'm telling you, it's powerful. Somebody asked an old preacher, said, "What would you have done differently today if you knew Jesus was coming back tonight?" The old preacher said, nothing. Now, I want you to think about that. There's only one way you can make that statement, and that's the no. You got up being led of the Holy Ghost, and you ate breakfast being led of the Holy Ghost, and you went out of the house being led of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In other words, beloved, if you're being led of the Holy Ghost, why would you change a thing? Amen. And these people that were led of the Holy Ghost were guilty of something. They were filling Jerusalem with the doctrine of the Word of God. There's 12. You know, they had appointed one. I think it was Matthias in place of Judas. And then I believe, if you'll look at it with me, I want to pray in a minute. I'm so excited I can't stand it. Amen. But I want you to look at verse 14 of chapter number 1. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. I want you to see this now. And in those days, I got excited. I was coming to church talking to Miss Eve and thinking about the Bible while I was talking to her. I hope I was nice to her. But anyway. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. You know what I thought, Brother Ralph? That's about the size of our church. Oh, you say they're more now. But now if you take off the children, amen, that'd be about where we're at. That's on Sunday morning, by the way, for those of you listening by tape. Ain't quite as many of us here on Wednesday night. Amen. But you know what I believe? I believe it started right here with these people in the upper room. And they went out, and the Bible said, filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. How many's interested in what God's got to say tonight? You better be careful. Amen. I'm interested in it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for my precious people. Thank you for the precious person of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to that cross, giving your life. Lord, we've got a story to tell. Lord, our Savior loves us. He gave himself for us. He's coming back for us. And surely, Lord, every one of us wants others to go with us to the city of God. I pray, Lord, you'll help us now. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I'm going to give you three simple things tonight. But before I do, I was going to wait till later in the message, but the Lord's leading me this way. I looked it up, and you know, I don't know how accurate some of this stuff is, but Josephus is pretty accurate with his history. And I looked it up, and at the time of Jesus, in his day, the population of Jerusalem was about 50,000. When they had a feast, it would increase to about 125,000. You know, people would come to Jerusalem for the feast, the different feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles, for the Passover and things of that nature. And so Jerusalem was a buzzing city. But well, I got to thinking about something. If 120 people could fill a city with the doctrine of God that had 50,000 people in it, then I believe that we tonight could get it in our heart to fill Bloomingdale with this doctrine. I don't think it's undoable. You say, how many's in Bloomingdale? Well, as of 2021, there's 22,000, Brother Rick, 386. According to what I'm looking at right there, it ought to be easier for us to fill Bloomingdale with this doctrine than it was for them. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. No, I found it. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. You say, well, preacher, this is America. This is the Bible Belt. Everybody knows the way to heaven. You're wrong. You're so dead wrong. I'm telling you, you're dead wrong. Amen. Dead wrong. Because, beloved, there's people out there tonight that do not know the way to heaven. And I'm telling you tonight, I told a young lady last night, I said, well, I actually told her fiancé standing there, I said, sir, if this lady was dying with cancer and I had the cure, I said, what kind of man would I be to keep that to myself and not share it with you, that this young lady would not have to die with cancer? I said, I don't have the cure for cancer, but I know the cure for sin. It's not mine to give, but thank God it's mine to share. Amen. I know the cure. How many knows the cure for sin tonight? It's the blood of Jesus. Amen. The Bible said through faith in Him. And so tonight, as I think about that, and by the way, I've got Jerusalem. That would be Bloomingdale on my heart. But we ain't quitting there. Amen. I think we'll just go on into Judea. That'd be Kingsport. Then I think we'll go on into Samaria. That'd be Colonial Heights and Allendale. You say, Pastor, you've lost your mind. No, I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. Listen, you can spit this message out tonight, and I tell you, you'll lose reward. But if you'll take what God's put in your pastor's heart tonight, I tell you, God is going to bless us. God is going to help us. Amen. You say, you want to make a name? No. The name's already been made. I just want others to know it. Amen. His name's Jesus. Amen. His name is Jesus. God's put some things in my heart I'll share with you later after I get through preaching. But I want to show you here tonight, beloved, what God's put in my heart. You say, Pastor, how did they do it? How did they do it? How in the world would it be possible for 120 or so people to fill a city with 50,000 in it with this doctrine that Jesus died? Remember, He hadn't been dead long and rose again long. Amen. It was fresh. Amen. That's part of our problem. Say amen. Some of us have been saved for years and years and it ain't fresh anymore. I tell you, it ought to be fresh. That's one reason to tell somebody what God done for you. It just freshens it up every time you tell them. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Justin, for nodding that head up and down. I've been thinking about you the last couple of days. Amen. And I mentioned your name a while ago to my wife, and it was all good. Amen. It's just something that God's put in my heart. Amen. Listen tonight. How did they do it? Let me give you number one. I want you to look in chapter 4, verse 32. I want you to see this tonight. And a multitude of them that believed were of, what's the next two words? What's the next two words? I'm going to wait on you to get there. Chapter 4, verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. Listen to me tonight. This can work, but we got to get pulling together. Are you listening to me tonight? A little while back, I was preaching, and I said, everybody can't do everything, but everybody can do something. Before I get done tonight, after the service, you're going to understand why I said that. Listen to me tonight. One heart. How many believers are in the house tonight? You know if you died tonight, heaven would be your home. You'd be absent from this stinking old body and be present with the Lord. How many knows that tonight? Now what God wants to do is take everybody that knows that and make them one heart. One heart. One heart. I don't believe, listen, I was talking to Brother John today. And we're both thrilled with what God's doing, already doing. Brother John made a statement. He said, Preacher, we need to look out. And I said, Amen, brother. I know what you're about to say. Honey, you think old Slewfoot's going to sit still? Amen. While Bloomingdale's being filled with the doctrine of God, you can forget it. Amen. He's going to fight it with everything. And you know where he wants the fight to begin? Ain't on the corner down there at Pizza Plus. Be on the corner of one of these pews. That'd make everybody sit over in the middle now, wouldn't it? Amen. Amen. I seen Brother Dale slide over 6 inches towards the middle. Amen. I'm just kidding. That's what he wants to do. Ain't that right? He would rather us be at one another, devouring one another, instead of filling Jerusalem filling our Bloomingdale, our Jerusalem, with this doctrine. Now, I don't know the thing that's going on. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm just trying to put up the guardrails. Amen. You understand what I mean? I'm just telling you, when you're determined to go forward and do something for God, there's another one that wants you to stand still or go backwards. He don't want you to go forward. The Word of God is plain here. They were of one heart. They believed and they were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them aught that the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. I'm just telling you, they were looking for Jesus to come today. That their houses didn't mean nothing to them because they were looking for Jesus to come today. Their bank account didn't mean nothing to them. They were looking for Jesus to come today. Now, you say, well, Pastor, it's been a long time since then. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Wise people are still looking for him to come today. Amen. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. I read that in Proverbs this morning. For thou knowest not what another day may bring forth. Now watch this. They're one heart. You say, Pastor, what happens when people get one heart? What happens? Look in verse 33. And with great power. You talk about getting the power of God in our services, the power of God in our homes, the power of God in our preaching, the power of God in our Sunday school classes. Amen. One heart. There'll be great power. And the Word of God said, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon the apostles. That ain't what it said, is it? It said great grace was upon them all. You get a bunch of people in one heart, in that yoke with Jesus, pulling in the same direction. And I'm going to tell you something right now. God will bless it up one side and down the other. You say, well, Pastor, these people face persecution. Are we any better than they are? If they put me in jail for preaching this book, are you going to come see me? Or will you at least pray for me? Or write me a letter every once in a while? Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, this is the early church, and I believe we're living in the last of the last days. But this one heart brought about great power and great grace. I'm telling you something, beloved. It'll help us in our lives. And then I want to give you this tonight. Not only do I see in these texts right here where the Bible said they filled Jerusalem with their doctrine, not only do I see one heart, but I see one Savior. There wasn't somebody over there bragging on Peter, and somebody over here bragging on James, and somebody over here bragging on John. But when there was one heart, every one of them was lifting up Jesus. Well, what happens when Jesus gets lifted up? He said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You say, now, Pastor, he's not talking about us lifting him up. This spake he of the death that he would die, signifying the death that he would die. He was lifted up on a cross. But what are these people doing here when they're sharing the gospel? They're lifting him up. And saying to the world, look, you've crucified the Son of God. He's alive. He rose again. He's coming back for us. One Savior. Let me give you this. There was a Savior to be shared. Look at the boldness in verse number 13. I think I'm in chapter 4 now. Look at the boldness here. One Savior. Let me just read something else real quickly first. Look at verse 10, please, with me. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Honey, they were of one heart, and they were putting one Savior, amen, out there before the people, the Lord Jesus. We look at their boldness. Look in verse number 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, I've heard people say, well, I just find it difficult to talk about the Lord. But and talk about the weather, talk about the race, talk about the ball game, talk about politics, God help us, amen. Talk about the family. I'm going to tell you the most important thing we could ever share with anybody is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a Savior to be shared. There's a Savior that will shine. You say, now, Pastor, where did you get that? Look in verse number 13 here. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. In other words, that's the way they came across to them. These guys, they're not well educated like later when they meet Saul of Tarsus, amen, he's well educated. They wouldn't have said that about him, amen. They perceived they were ignorant and unlearned men. But you say, now why do you believe their light was shining, preacher? I want you to look at the rest of that verse. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're interested in filling the Jerusalem with the doctrine, there's something more important than filling Jerusalem with the doctrine first. You need the doctrine and the God of the doctrine to fill you. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. How many's ever heard an old-timey preacher that didn't have much education, had a hard time even pronouncing the words that's in the Bible? I mean, he's never heard him preach and God all over him. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, it's not, beloved, in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but it's in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. These men had God on them. I'll tell you, beloved, tonight, I don't have time to teach you all about it, but it's one thing to have God in you, and it's quite another thing to have God on you. It's a blessing. I wish it happened more in my ministry, but there have been a few times in my ministry when somebody would say, you're a preacher, ain't you? They didn't know me from Adam. I prayed this morning with Sister Sherry in her room. The nurses come in to get her. I thought we had a few minutes. Honey, they're on their toes over there. I said, honey, listen, I just got here. Can I pray first? They said, sure. Well, the lady across over there heard us praying over here. I stepped out to go back to the way. She said, would you come in here and pray with us? She must have thought, brother, that the God I was talking to was listening. I like that movie, Sheffy. They come to him, that religious crowd. They said, why, Brother Sheffy, it's been said that when you pray, it's as if you're actually talking to God. He looked at him and said, well, to whom do you talk to when you pray? Dear God, help us, amen. These men had God on them. There's a Savior. There's a Savior to be shared. And there's a Savior that will shine in your life when you yield your life to Him. I got something I need to read you right here. I put a star beside of it to remind me. Let's see if I can find it right here. Oh, let's see. I'd go over here. Boy, I like this. Y'all listen to this, would you? I remember hearing of a man at sea who was very seasick. If there is a time when a man feels that he cannot do any work for the Lord, it is then, in my opinion. While this man was sick, he heard that a man had fallen overboard. He was wondering if he could do anything to help to save him. He had hold of a light, and he held it up to the porthole. The drowning man was saved. When this man got over his attack of sickness, he was up on the deck one day and was talking to the man who was rescued. The saved man gave this testimony. He said he had gone down the second time and was just going down again for the last time when he put out his hand. Just then, he said, someone held a light at the porthole and the light fell on my hand. And a man caught him by the hand and pulled him into the lifeboat. It seemed a small thing to do to hold up the light to the porthole, yet it saved the man's life. If you cannot do some great thing, you can hold the light for some poor, perishing sinner who may be won to Christ and delivered from destruction. Let us take the torch of salvation and go into these dark homes and hold up Christ to the people as the Savior of the world. Man, so sick he couldn't hold his head up. Just took the light and stuck it in the porthole. Dear God, if you're saved tonight, you're responsible to let the light that's in you shine. Not that men may pat you on the back, but that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It's not about us. It's about Him. They need to see Him. We need to let our light shine that they might see Him. So they took knowledge of them. They were ignorant and unlearned men. Man, my time's getting away from me. There's one heart. There's one Savior. And there's the Savior that we serve. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart, with all of my heart, the Bible said this, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. I may not got that exactly right, but that's close. And then it said the second greatest commandment is likened to the first, love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight there's a Savior that we serve tonight, and we want to honor Him tonight. One heart, one Savior, but then there's one goal. You say, Pastor, what do you believe the goal was? Well, I believe they wanted to fill Jerusalem with the doctrine. You say, Pastor, do you believe that they wanted to see people saved? I do. But I also believe, beloved, they understood something that you and I need to understand. The saving part's God's business. The sowing part's ours. Did y'all hear what I just said? The saving part is God's business. But the sowing part is ours. The weeping part is ours. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He said, Pastor, why in this generation that we live in do we reap so sparingly? Anybody got a clue? Because we sow so sparingly. Amen? Listen to me tonight. God's going to help us. I know He is. One heart, one Savior. But there's one goal. We want Him to hear. I love the song, Brother Dale, Brother Junior. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Brother Dale, if God will let me preach to you one time in heaven, I'm going to break out in song right in the middle of it. Until then, I shall spare thee. Amen. Listen to me tonight. We know that. Many men and women do not know that tonight. The sinner may hear the word and believe. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 4. The Bible said, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Let me tell you something tonight. Every time the church is doing what the church is supposed to be doing, and every time that somebody's believing, somebody else is grieving. Let me tell you something tonight. If we do what God wants us to do, everybody ain't going to be happy about it. Let me show you what I mean. Look here in the Bible in chapter 4, verse 1. And they spake unto the people, and the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, came upon them. I remember years and years and years ago, somebody said the Pharisees believed in the resurrection and the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. And that's very sad, you see. If you don't believe Jesus got up, that's sad. Amen. I'd just go to the house if I didn't believe Jesus got up. That's the truth. I'd just go to the house, forget about it. If I'm not going to stand before Him and give an account, and He didn't get up, that means I ain't getting up, and I've got my faith. Well, the Bible even talks about that over there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then our preaching's vain, our faith is vain, if Christ be not raised. But He is! I go back, but if I pull up a Bible Way YouTube, there won't be but one or two down. I'm listening to the Easter service again in the choir. Son, I'm telling you, that blesses me. I've come to tell you He's alive. To tell you that He saves. Yeah. Well, it's one thing to stand in the choir and tell the church, but it's another thing to get out of the church and tell the Jerusalem, tell Bloomingdale, our Jerusalem, He's alive. And He's still saving to the uttermost those that will believe. The Bible said here, look in verse number 2, being grieved that they taught the people. So in other words, if we set out tonight, if we set out to fill this area, to fill our Jerusalem, our Bloomingdale, if we set out to fill it with this doctrine, I want you to mark her down, honey. The old enemy is going to raise his head. He's going to be grieved about that. Grieved about that. He ain't going to like that one bit. You know what I believe? I see it here. You tell me if I'm wrong. I don't see anybody in these early chapters inviting somebody to come to church in Jerusalem. Now, I'm not against inviting somebody to come to church, but that ain't what I see. Honey, they're lifting up Jesus. They're saying, right here's the Savior, and you need Him. Amen. You need the Savior. You need the Savior. And so there was one goal, that sinner men might hear the Word of God and believe. But then I believe there was also in that goal a byproduct. The saints of God were going to fear the Lord and obey. If you don't know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, this is the early church. I'm going to tell you something. We'd have revival in about a week if God started killing everybody that lied to the Holy Ghost. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of ground, come in, told the apostles, they sold it for so much, and Peter had the goods on him, amen. Ananias came first, and he told Peter, he said, now, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? In other words, it was yours, it was your property, you didn't have to sell it, and you didn't have to say, you could have said you gave part of it, amen. But he lied. And you know what they done? They buried him. He fell down dead. Read it in your Bible. It's right there in your Bible. And then here comes his wife, not knowing what happened to him. And they've done made it up together to tell the same story. Amen. You'd think they was in the Senate or something. But anyway, you'll get that after a while. Watch what the Word of God said in verse number 5, chapter number 5, verse number 11. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. When they heard what happened to Ananias and Sapphira, let me tell you something, beloved. That shouldn't produce a fear in our heart. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. See, we know more than the early church know. Justin, you and I are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body. Honey, it shouldn't be what happened to a couple back there in the book of Acts that puts the fear of God in us. It ought to put the fear of God in us to know, beloved, listen, that we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an account for the deeds done in our body. I don't know about you tonight. There's a man that I love dearly. I won't call his name tonight, but he told me years ago. He said, I'm not looking forward to that. And I know he loves God. I know he loves the church. There's a fear, a healthy fear, the saints of God, and they wanted to obey. You say, Pastor, where did you get that about obeying? Let me show you quickly, and I'm going to call everybody at the front of the church. I'm going to talk to you just a minute, share what's on my heart. Chapter number 4, look at verse number 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said, Well, let me read verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So even that text right there, we know what they were doing. They were speaking and teaching in the name of Jesus. Look at verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God. Peter and John, they were at a crossroads. They had to make up their mind whether they was going to listen to this bunch that had the ability to put them in prison, had the ability to beat them, or whether they was going to listen to God. You know what I believe? I don't even believe they prayed about it. I believe, man, I believe they were so on fire for God. I believe they were just like old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our God's able to deliver us, but if not, we're going to keep on doing what God wants us to do. Watch this now. The Bible said here, hearken unto you more than God, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Look at chapter 5, verse 29, and I'm done. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to obey God rather than man. I believe when our goal is right, to please and honor God because we love Him, to love our neighbor as ourselves, the sinner man will hear the word, the saints of God will feel the Lord, and they'll obey the Lord. Because we've got one heart, one Savior, and one goal, and that's to honor the Lord. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight?